Garden for Life for June. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Extraordinaire Lynn Kunzman. Lynn, good to have you back.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. So this is the part of the year, June, when everything went in the ground because we were supposed to have everything planted by Mother's Day. And whether it went in as seeds or as starts, there's, I think for gardeners, at least for me, there's a certain level of like, oh God, is everything going to work here? I mean, how patient should we be or how interventive should we be if it seems like things aren't coming up as fast as we think they should be?
Well, it's always dicey when you put seeds in if you didn't plant them at the right depth or you didn't water them enough. When we had those really scorchy days there a little while back, you might have some poor germination. And of course, there are always the little critters that live in your yard that want to eat everything that's sprouting from seed. Transplants should be doing okay. The soil is warming now, and so you should see growth on your peppers and eggplants and tomatoes and squash. I know the squash in my yard is just bouncing out of the ground. You know, it's really taking off. Melons are a little slower. You know, they grow a little more slowly. But most things, at least in my yard, even though I have the entire garden mulched, and so that keeps the soil a little cooler, they're growing pretty well.
All right. So when did you put your stuff in, though? I mean,
I put most of my stuff in Mother's Day, and then we had some cold weather, and some of those didn't like it too well, and I had to replace them. So it's not unusual when we have these long, cool springs like we've had. Where something just won't be happy in soil that's not warm enough. And so having a soil temperature gauge is really a good idea because summer vegetables really like to have the soil, you know, above 65 degrees. They like it to be warmer. And so they just sit for a while when you put them in soil that's cooler than, say, 55 or something in that range. So now things are going, and we've been having consistently warmer days and warmer nights, which means the soil can't cool off as much at night, and so that's good for the roots.
Okay, so but this it sounds like this the soil temperature generally warms up somewhat slowly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't vary as radically as the surrounding air temperature, but some plants really, really want warmer soil temperatures. Mm-hmm. Certainly our summer vegetables want that.
Okay. Good time to talk about the stuff that you want to use to measure the activity in your garden.
Right.
Yeah, you obviously want a soil thermometer, but what are some of the other things you might want to measure?
So you want to measure soil moisture. You want to make sure that you're keeping, the root zones around your vegetables pretty evenly moist, especially with tomatoes, because when they start to set fruit, if you're doing drench and drought kind of watering, they are going to respond by getting blossom end rot. And so you want to be sure you are watering evenly. And there are soil moisture meters also that you can get at the Grange or any other, garden place. And you just plunge them down in the soil and you can kind of get a reading. And if your yard is like mine, there are areas of the garden that dry out a lot faster. You might have to do some extra watering in those areas. Because it's better drainage. Soil isn't consistent across all sites. So you want to make sure that everything is getting evenly watered and you're not drowning some things. In my yard, I know the way it drains, there are areas where it's easy to drown things. So that's another thing you have to kind of keep an eye on.
So when you talk about evenly, though, I mean, what does that mean in terms of like, for the tomato example you gave? I mean, in time and in depth, I mean, how are you watering?
Right. Well, I am not one of those people who waters now with a drip irrigation system. I have overhead sprinklers, and so I run them daily, and I I run them, depending on the temperatures outside, I run them for, between 15 and 30 minutes. And I usually know because I'm weeding around those plants quite regularly, and I can see how the soil is. You know, when I dig down with my hands, I'm feeling the soil to see if there's moisture down there. I'm checking. But I want to make sure that it's not drying out too much. And tomatoes can stand some drying out because they have pretty deep roots. But you want to make sure that you're not adding water, over adding it certain days and then letting it go without so that it gets stressed on other days.
About how many minutes a day do you do the overhead sprinkling?
It varies. I think when the temperatures were like 95 degrees, I had my sprinklers running like 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the beds are mulched too, so it has to get through that mulch and into the soil. But everything seems to be pretty happy with that. I just kind of watch my plants and, if they're doing well, then I keep the water at that level. If they look like they're getting stressed, I pump it up a little bit.
This is Garden for Life on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Jackson County Master Gardener Lynn Kunstman once again. So you were talking about the differences in soil and in drainage in different parts of the yard. I think from one end of my garden to the other, and it's not very big, it seems that there's differences. But there's also going to be differences in what each vegetable wants. I mean, if you got the tomatoes in there with the strawberries and the squash, they all have somewhat different needs, don't they?
Right, yeah. Squash. May need more water and melons certainly more water than the tomatoes will, or the peppers and eggplants. Peppers, eggplants, and tomatoes don't like having soaky roots. They like the soil to drain between waterings, and it needs to stay moist but not waterlogged. Things that that can tolerate a little more drought kinds of conditions are our summer vegetables, but the squash and melons have much shallower roots, so you're probably going to have to be going in around them and giving them extra water to keep them from doing what you've seen zucchini plants do, which you'll walk out in your yard and they look like Night of the Living Dead because they're all like limp and and that's because they have much shallower roots. So that's just something to be aware of. And, give them a little extra when we have those 110 degree days. You might want to give them a little extra water around the base of those plants.
Well, you've talked in the past, though, about being careful about when you water. You don't particularly want to water when the sun is out and baking them, right?
Right. Well, you certainly don't want to do overhead watering when that is the case. You don't want to overhead water in the heat of the day. I do my overhead watering like at 5 in the morning. The sprinklers come on automatically. But if a plant is looking water stressed, you can take a hand hose in and water around the base of it without damaging the vegetation. You know, that's okay, but you don't want to turn a hose on a plant that's, looking like it's choking to death out there in the garden. That's going to cause more damage to the leaves. So certainly you can take a hose in and water around the base to give it a little shot of, juice to get it. Liquid love to get it a little happier. Yep.
So you mentioned overhead sprinkle. I've been using soaker hoses partly upon your recommendation in years past. Any particular advantages, disadvantages, either one of those?
Well, what I've found for my garden, because I am keeping my garden beds full of wildflowers as well as my vegetables, so the beds are fully... they're fully planted. There's vegetation everywhere, across a 4-foot space for 30 feet length. And in that case, things like soaker hoses, they're only soaking the ground right at the base of the plants that you have them at. So things like drip tubes, which you're placing one or two per plant, or you're running a weepy, you know, a weepy hose, a soaker hose, then you're not able to grow things out to the edges of the beds. You've got to have your plants right next to those hoses so that they're getting the full effect of the irrigation. So I've gone to overhead sprinkling because I want the wildflowers that I plant in amongst my vegetables to attract the pollinators. And so that everything's got to have water.
Okay, good to know. We were talking to Lynn Kunzman here in the Jefferson Exchange for another edition of Garden for Life. This is about gardening in the month of June. One of the things I noticed about June is I've been seeing this for years now. June is the month you want to hill your potatoes. What the hill is that?
Yeah, so potatoes will grow more tubers if you mound up the soil around the growing stems. So they're kind of advantageous growers, and so those stems will put out, you know, more root material, and more tubers will form. So that's why when you drive past potato fields, they look like they're mounded up, because they actually go in and they disc more material up onto those growing stems to get a bigger crop of potatoes. And you can do that with soil, or you can do it with, a lot of people grow potatoes in like leaves or straw, or, you know, they're mounding mulch around the stems and they keep heaping stuff up. And then as the stem grows bigger, they add more stuff. So I know a lot of people try growing potatoes in barrels, and they just keep adding leaves as the stems come up out of the barrel, and then you've got a barrel full of potatoes. So, yeah. Yeah.
Sounds fun. Yeah, there's some piling up of stuff. Do you want to grow mounds with cucumbers, I guess? And I did my usual trick. I guess my gardening experience is basically to do everything you say backwards. Do the opposite of everything you say. Yeah, so the experiment so far is not yielding any cucumbers. But what is the advantage for a cucumber, for example, of having a mound to start with?
Well, so that's a little different thing. I mean, you're not mounding onto the cucumber's stem. You're planting the seeds in a mound. And if you think about how melons or pumpkins or squash deteriorate in, you know, if they're left alone in the wild to just rot, there's a mound of material there where the old fruit was, right? The pumpkin has rotted down and the seeds sprout from that mound. And so what I tell people is put down a mound of compost and plant your seeds in that mound, because they like fairly good drainage and they need those. Cucurbits are heavy feeders. They want rich soil. And so having them grow out of a mound of compost, you know, or mounded up soil that you've added compost to, gives them the two things that they want. They want to be kind of higher up than the bed level itself, and they want to have that enriched soil.
Okay, so when you're moving soil around, we're down to about the last minute here, but there are places in my yard where I've like removed things and thought, oh, that looks like pretty good soil underneath. Is that the kind of stuff you want to move to your garden? I mean, does the presence of earthworms alone indicate you got pretty good soil?
Sure. I mean, if you see soil that's really crumbly, you know, it has like large crumbly chunks of soil in there, that's great soil. Like you might scrape away leaves in your yard and then find this really rich material down there. That's great to put in your garden. Yeah.
Okay. I'll be sure to keep an eye out for that kind of
stuff. Yeah. You can always transport good-looking soil back into your vegetable garden. That's a good idea.
Okay, good. Yeah, because so like I said, from one end of the garden to the other, there's definitely a variation in soil type, and I meant to do some testing stuff that I never got completed over the winter, but still want to do that. But we can talk about that next month. Lynn Kunzman is a master gardener in Jackson County from the Master Gardeners Association and a longtime partner with us on Garden for Life. We'll be back for the first Friday in July to do this all over again. Lynn, always good to talk to you.
Great. Thanks a lot.